Medical Breakthroughs, the research journey. Hello and welcome. I'm your host, Caroline Burden, and you're about to join me on a journey into the fascinating world of medical breakthroughs. But not just any breakthroughs. We're diving into the personal stories, the setbacks, the you will not believe this moments behind the cutting edge research happening right here at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust. Coming up in this episode,
it's Susan's experience of not knowing she had a cancer, finding it early, finding two in fact, taking them out, and then she is over 5 years now since operation. We would class that as a cure. That is exactly why we do the screening programme.
The day I came out of hospital, my grandson was born. I've seen him get to nearly 6 year old now and another little grandson, so maybe wouldn't have seen the second one.
When Susan took up an invite for a lung health check, she didn't expect to be told that she had early stage cancer. Now cancer-free, she shares her story alongside Professor Matt McAllister and Suzanne Rogerson as they explain how a mobile screening unit in Leeds is finding hidden cancers, saving lives and going national.
The research project's called the Yorkshire Lung Screening Trial. So it was a trial of screening for lung cancer using a test called low-dose CT. So basically screening, quite broadly, involves testing people, a defined population of people, at regular intervals, using a test, the screening test. And you do that irrespective of whether they have symptoms or not. So in most of the rest of healthcare, people have some type of symptom, they notice something wrong, and then they go and seek help from healthcare professionals, where screening is flipped the other way around and people get invited whether or not they have symptoms according to a kind of standard protocol. So we have screening programs for three cancers already: breast cancer, bowel cancer and cervical cancer. There was some data that came out from the US in 2011 showing that screening with low-dose CT saves lives. It stops people dying of cancer, which is the standard which we need to get to. So the US started screening in 2013. Screening in the UK is run by the UK National Screening Committee. They looked at screening in 2018 and they decided there wasn't sufficient convincing evidence to have a national program at that time. Part of that was because there'd only been one study showing benefit, but some of it was around the kind of logistics of delivering screening in the UK. Would people turn up? Is it cost effective? So the Yorkshire Lung Screening Trial was kind of born into that whole context at the time where we didn't have a national screening program, where there was a kind of need to show that it would work in the real world NHS to get some data on how many people would turn up to kind of contribute to some calculations about whether it would be value for money. So that was the reason for the trial.
So what we did was we invited patients to give us a call for a telephone risk assessment to see if they were at high risk of lung cancer. So the first contact that Susan got from us was a letter inviting her to ring us. So she rang the team and we did a short questionnaire over the phone that determined that she was at higher risk of lung cancer. And then we invited her for a lung health check, including a chest CT scan. So we operated in a mobile unit. So we were parked in community locations that were convenient for patients to come to. So generally in people's local supermarket car park or local park. And patients could pretty much choose what day and time they wanted to come. We screened 6 days a week, started early and finished late so that people who were working or had responsibilities could still attend. And then patients came, took part in the study, answered lots of questions about general health and lung health, Susan may remember, and then had a CT scan while they were there.
When you received that letter through the post inviting you to have these conversations and be part of this trial, what were your thoughts?
Obviously, I was having regular mammograms and cervical smears, so I thought, well, what's to lose? I have nothing to lose, but possibly plenty to gain.
And how were you feeling in yourself at that point? You weren't necessarily feeling unwell or thinking, oh, there's a problem here
nothing.
That I need to... So no idea whatsoever that there could be anything wrong. So you went and had this assessment over the phone, and then you went and you had the screening itself. What was that like?
I just wanted to get under the duvet and stay there when I got results. Obviously, I was really, really scared to know that I did have cancer. My granddad died of cancer. My stepfather died of cancer. So, you know, the thought was scary. And like I say, I just wanted to hide away. But the fact that we'd found it, it was just, oh.
When you were told and you received the information that actually you did have cancer, what happened next?
I was in a bit of a state, actually. What worried me, my daughter at the time was 7 months pregnant. I mean, mum was nearly 90 at the time. And it was, how do I tell them? I didn't want her going into early labour or anything, and I didn't want my mum having a heart attack at the news, you know. I was worrying about telling them. But in the end, it was my son that took it worst. It was a case of, well, I've been told now that it should be curable, so I've got it, but don't worry, I won't have it for long.
So from a clinician's perspective, what happens once you have had that scan and then actually been able to diagnose it?
Well, what commonly happens on a scan is we see something in the lung, normally quite small, and normally just in the lung. That's the most common presentation on the screening scan. The things in the lung are called nodules. These are small, usually round things, or usually spherical, in fact, little blebs in the lung. Some of these are benign, perhaps benign scars from an old infection, but some are cancer. And so I suppose our job in the clinical service is to work out which of these nodules are concerning and which are not concerning. And there are a number of tests that we can do. Susan mentioned the radioactive one. That's called a PET CT scan. So that's where we give a dye of labeled sugar, in fact. So it's radio labeled sugar. And the reason we use sugar is because cancer cells use a lot of sugar, so they take up this dye, and then we do the scan, and the areas that tend to take up the sugar light up on the scan. So that's a common test we do. That allows us to look at the nodules themselves. It also allows us to look elsewhere in the body, because we know that lung cancer has a tendency to spread, often spreads quite early, so we need to make sure there's no evidence of cancer anywhere else. And Susan's scan showed that the nodule lit up, didn't show anything anywhere else, and that's why he was considered for surgery. The other thing we often do is a biopsy before the operation to know for certain that's what we're dealing with. The issue with biopsies, though, is that they're, if you think about the lung, there's parts of the lung that are next to the edge of the lung, if you like, and then there are bits of the lung that are much less accessible, that are right in the middle. And in your case, Susan, you didn't have a biopsy before the operation, I think, and that was because it was quite hard to get at. So there are some situations where we're just so concerned by the picture, by what the scan is showing, that we think, well, we think this needs to come out. In that situation, there's always a bit of uncertainty. When it comes out, is it really a cancer at all? So you're going a little bit on kind of calculated decision, but there is still that uncertainty. You know, when it comes out, will this have been an unnecessary operation? Would it have been better leaving this alone? So the, you know, that they're the sort of things we weigh up firstly in our meetings and then when we have discussions with patients. But we were so concerned about this appearance on the scan that we thought that this should come out, whatever. And Susan met one of our surgeons, had a chat through what was involved, and then, you know, did very well following the operation. And when it came out at the end, it did confirm that it was cancer. So absolutely, it was the right thing to do. So, you know, and that's many years ago now, wasn't it? Susan, it was your operation, I think, was 2019, wasn't it?
It was. 7th of July. I came home on the 21st.
Yeah.
And on the 23rd of August, I was on my way down to Southampton to go on a cruise. So...
That's amazing. And so what was the time scale from, you know, going to have that initial telephone conversation to then being told, actually, you've had the surgery, you are now cancer free? What sort of time scale are we looking at?
I think the first scan was round about April, May, June, July, 3 months, and I was in hospital. And then I had three or four outpatients appointments, and then I was discharged.
That's so quick. And what's the likelihood that if this screening program wasn't there at the time, when would Susan be likely to have started having problems and noticing that there was something wrong?
I mean, it's a very good question. And it's hard to predict that with any certainty in any individual patient, because you just don't know, you don't know what would have happened otherwise. But we think that the technical term for what you've just described, Caroline, is the sojourn time. That's what it's called. And that's the time that the cancer would have taken to present if it was just left alone. We think that could, it varies between patients, but an average might be around 4 years. If not treated, these cancers will grow. And we know that many of them will then spread to different parts of the body without the patient knowing they're there at all. And then, you know, unfortunately, about half, or previously, I would say, about 5 years ago, about half of everyone presenting with lung cancer in the UK would present with what we call metastatic disease. So that's when the cancer has spread to different parts of the body and is incurable at that point. So that is the kind of normal, the most common way for lung cancer to present. What we've seen now in national figures is the proportion of people presenting with early stage lung cancer across the whole of England now is rising kind of year on year. It's Susan's experience, I guess, of not knowing she had a cancer, finding it early, finding two, in fact, taking them out. And then, you know, she is over 5 years now since operation. We would class that as a cure. That is exactly why we do the screening program. That's exactly what we're hoping to achieve with the screening program. And some national data that's come out very recently, in fact, looking at the stage of lung cancers presenting across England is rising and rising all the time. The average length of time that people survive after a cancer diagnosis is rising. And the number of operations that we're doing has increased hugely, in fact. In the last 3 years, there's been about a 45% increase in the number of operations for lung cancer across England. And that's an enormous rise in quite a short period of time. And a very large part of that will be due to the screening program, for sure.
I imagine hearing that the likely outcome for you, if you had not had this screening test, would be that you would not be here today. That must be quite a...
Yeah.
Quite a thing to get your head round.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the day I came out of hospital, my grandson was born. And I just wanted to get home because the following day was my husband's birthday. And I mean, I've seen him get to nearly 6 years old now and another one, another little grandson. So, you know, I maybe wouldn't have seen the second mum.
Suzanne, we can see here, you know, just one example of the huge difference that these types of research projects have. It must have been an incredible project to work on.
It's been amazing. I think it's important to mention that the projects that we ran was funded by Yorkshire Cancer Research. So they funded the entire project. And, you know, it's amazing to hear stories such as Susan's. And we have, you know, a few hundred of these stories now of patients who have gone on to live longer lives, live healthier lives, see things happen that they may not have done if they hadn't have come for the screening test.
I think the other thing that Yorkshire Cancer Research has funded and that we've been looking at is trying to help those people who come for screening who are still smoking, trying to help them quit. So about two-thirds of people, roughly, that we see will have quit smoking, and that's obviously the main risk factor for lung cancer, but a third of people, roughly, are still smoking when they come for screening. And we have a separate research project built into the Yorkshire screening trial, looking at how best to help those people who are still smoking, how best to help them quit. Not all of them want to quit, and that's, you know, that's fine. Obviously, it's an individual choice, but a lot of them do want to quit and yet haven't had the best help with doing that. You know, maybe opportunities have been missed when they've been in other healthcare settings. And so a lot of the focus of the study was trying to help those people to stop, because by stopping, they kind of reduce their chance of getting lung cancer in the future, but also there's all manner of other health benefits of stopping, which everyone's well aware of. And so that's that, as you know, finding early stage lung cancers and being able to offer treatment to cure them has been brilliant. But equally, there's been about 800 people in the group invited for screening who we've been able to help stop smoking. And that will have huge health benefits for them as well. So we really see the two of these going hand in hand. You know, the scans to detect the early stage disease, and then the help where it's wanted to allow people to stop a kind of habit that they've had for a lifetime.
Yeah, so we worked alongside a team from University of Nottingham, led by Rachel Murray, who ran the stop smoking service that we did alongside our lung cancer screening. And they're setting up a study across several sites, eventually including Leeds. That's going to be looking at different ways of helping people quit and looking at whether people quit better with support, using an app, and perhaps maybe even with some vouchers if they quit at a certain time. So it's going to be really interesting to see if we can find what helps people quit best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think another thing to mention as well is only about 3/4 of the people that we invited for screening actually took up the offer to do the telephone risk assessment. And we know that the people that didn't, looking at records, they're more likely to be smokers and probably at higher risk of lung cancer. And a challenge for us as we move forward to the national programme in Leeds is getting more people into screening. We know some people will come anyway. We've done quite a lot of work at sort of helping navigate people into screening in the last couple of years, but we're still not getting everybody in. And that's a really important part of what we need to do when we start the screening programme next year.
I guess there must still be that, which is, you know, in part completely understandable, that element of, oh, I don't want to find out that I've got cancer. Because as you said, Susan, finding out, you just wanted to take to your bed. And I can completely understand why, you know, your head would do that to you. And well, that's where you want to be. Nobody wants to find out that they've got cancer. But then you look at the outcome and an operation and the rest of your life to look forward to.
Yeah.
Is incredible. What's the result then of this research project? What does this mean as an outcome for patients in the future?
So we've shown that lung cancer screening is deliverable in the way that we've done it over the study in these mobile units. We've shown that there's value for money. We've shown that it saves lives. So the data that we collected, some of that was used by the National Screening Committee to announce that there should be a national screening programme in the UK. And that was our intention next year in Leeds, that we start a lung cancer screening programme in Leeds, and we will save more lives.
Susan, to be a part of that, to have been one of those people who saw the letter and to actually say, yeah, do you know what, I'll take part. Yeah. And now the knock-on effect that this has had, not just for you, but for other people that will now be able to benefit.
Yeah.
You will help save tens of thousands of lives, because you turning up for screening and doing what you did has given us the data that we've got, shown that lung cancer screening works. So you're giving back. Every time somebody's cancer's found, it's because somebody like you's turned up for screening. So thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
How does that make you feel, Susan, to hear that you've been such an instrumental part in saving other
people's
lives?
Oh, Wonder Woman.
No. You are.
I owe you all my life.
And you can find out more about the treatments in our show notes. Coming up on our next episode.
We have become increasingly aware that baby's health doesn't start at the time of birth. It's been going on for several months before that in their mum's womb. And the things that can happen during pregnancy have a profound impact on the baby, not just at birth, but throughout their early and later lives.
And you can hear more from Mr. Nigel Simpson in our next episode that looks into research during pregnancy and on babies. Medical Breakthroughs: The Research Journey is an Under the Mast audio production.